Welcome to AI Marketing, a podcast for sales and marketing professionals that want to increase their sales, leads, and conversions through the use of artificial intelligence solutions. And now, here's your host, Mark Verdilman.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to AI Marketing. Joining me today, lifelong friend, pretty much a lifelong friend, Jaz Dillon. I went and worked for his first company back in the 90s, and it wasn't AI, but it was. It's called Blue Lawn Online, and one of the first, if not the first, SaaS-based, they didn't call it SaaS back then. I forgot the term that we used back then, but one of the first SaaS-based construction management or building management companies ever that was entirely on the web. There wasn't any software that I was aware of offline. And it looked like Microsoft Outlook, so everyone knew how to use it. Just a beautiful interface. Eventually, we went on to sell that company. And now Jaz has a very storied career, like I do, and has dabbled in a bunch of different things, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. But now we are in two separate businesses, but very interested in the same topic, which is around AI, and specifically for this show, of course, it's AI marketing. So, Jaz, welcome to the show. Why not give your the audience a 30 or 60 second bio? I know it'll be you've had quite a long, illustrious career, but try to keep it short.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for inviting me. I'm looking forward to our discussion. I've spent all my life in technology, both in working for some of the biggest technology companies in the world, as well as creating two of my own internet companies and a number of other startups where I was a member of the executive team. I'm super excited about the opportunity that AI is providing us in creating new types of applications that can help business people and individuals across industries. Blue Lawn Online did start in construction, but switched to energy and worked with some of the biggest companies in the world, including Bechtel and General Electric and ABB. So, you know, after, I believe you had moved to AT Kearney, but that's a quick introduction.
Yeah. All right. Well, I always appreciate you on the show. You're always at the forefront of innovation. Let's jump in, Jaz. The format of the show, and I think I said in the season opener, is that I'm going to bring on guests or just come on and pontificate myself. We're going to talk about one tool to help marketers. And it's not just, hey, I'm going to introduce a tool. I want that person to have used it and to explain why or how they use it and why they like it so much. So I'm going to have Jaz go first, and then I'll give you mine. And then the second half of the show is going to be around Jaz's new AI business, which is not quite doing marketing, but it's doing something as important on the financial side. So stay tuned to listen to what he has. And he's going to Boston this week to pitch his business at a big, massive MIT event that specially selected Jaz. I think one at 50.
Yeah.
Well, there's probably 5,000 that applied. But anyway, we'll get into that in just a few minutes. But Jaz, let's start with your pick of the day, which is Jasper. Am I correct?
Yes. I came across Jasper about a year ago, actually. They've been around for a while. And I was starting my first AI company, and hopefully it'll be the one I'll be lucky enough to scale. And being a technology executive and also a technologist from the ground up, I'm always trying to make sure that words I'm using to communicate the value proposition, whether it's in person or in presentations, is simple enough, but still doesn't lose its original context. And I found Jasper to be a really helpful copywriting tool. And it provides you with lots of different options. So it's one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah. And what do you do with it specifically? I mean, what does it help you with? Content writing? Any specific style of content writing?
Well, Jasper can do it can do many things, right? You can give it just a simple content, and it can make it more approachable, more understandable. You can also give it topics, and it can write decent blog posts that I would say 70-80% there, and then you can do your final edits and use those blog posts to generate traffic and position yourself as you know, as an up-and-coming authority in a given topic.
Now, does it pass some of the AI detectors that are out there? Have you ever tried that? I mean, folks, if you don't know, there's a bunch of AI detectors that can detect whether AI with a high probability is written or not. What has Jasper done in terms of that?
So I haven't tested Jasper recently, but the AI detectors, as you know, are of varying quality, right?
Yeah.
And frankly, they are highly inaccurate, as far as I can tell. I had some colleagues of mine whose children were applying to college, and they were all freaking out that the essays that the kids were writing were being identified as AI-written essays.
No.
And they weren't. I mean, you know, these children are really honest, high integrity, and half the essays were being identified as AI-written. And it was just completely inaccurate. So I called up a good friend of mine who is a vice chancellor at one of the top UCs, and I said, "What are you guys doing?" And about this, and he asked me to communicate to my colleagues and one good friend that they should. Their children who are the applicants should just go ahead and write and submit their essays, and the UCs at least consider these AI detectors as to be highly inaccurate. Now I don't know whether they're using them or not, but that was the message I was given. So these AI detectors, it's an evolving technology, Mark. You should always run your blog posts, you know, through it. But I don't really see that, you know, as a big deal. At the end of the day, you do want to have the final blog post copy, whatever you're writing, it needs to reflect you as an entrepreneur, as a business executive, as a company. So, and if half of it was written by AI, you know, by all means, as long as it fits within the message you're going to communicate.
Yeah, I know. I mean, part of me is like, you know, it's a little bit cheating. And by the way, those AI detectors, the best I've seen is originality.ai or undetectable.ai. Those are two good ones. So part of me is like, yeah, it's cheating, but isn't it the way it's going to be in the future? Just like calculators are to math or computers are to hard, complex math problems. So, you know, what's the big deal? I know when my son just applied to school, I had to hire him a very expensive essay coach. It probably cost me $6,000-$7,000 because he applied to 22 colleges and got into UCLA. UCLA is the one he wanted to go to, or one of the ones he wanted to go to. So that's
congratulations.
Yeah. Jazz, you went to USC, though. That might piss you off.
No, you know, UCLA always thinks we're in competition with them, but you know, both schools are really good, and each school has its own strengths and weaknesses. So UCLA is a fabulous school. I mean, I would have loved to go on there. I probably would never get in.
Well, I mean, I would never get in. This day and age is so competitive. It's like an 8% acceptance rate. It's quite crazy how many people are applying. 147,000 people applied to UCLA this year. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and again, my colleague, who is who's at one of the top two UCs, he told me that he was told by some of their faculty that if they were applying today, they would not be accepted at the UCs. You know,
that's for sure.
Very stressful, right, for the kids?
Very stressful. Very stressful for the kids. And my son grades started falling off because of it. And fortunately, he didn't have to submit those grades because it's the last semester of the year. Had he submitted them, he probably wouldn't have gotten into UCLA.
Well, congratulations. You know, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yep, but he didn't use AI. Whether that matters or not 5 years from now, who knows? I don't think we'll get around it.
At least he let you help him with a coach. My sons refused to get any help. And
really?
it would have helped them, I think.
Yeah, totally. No, the coach was very helpful in pulling out the right stories. She refused to do any writing, which is the way it's supposed to be done.
Right.
But she kind of guided him through thinking it through. It's very helpful.
Yeah, no, it's. I would highly recommend it. One of our sons, he's finishing his junior year at UC Santa Cruz in computer science. He got into UC Davis, and so he chose to go to UC Santa Cruz because it's got a decent computer science program. We were very happy for him.
Yes, that's great, and he's a pilot.
Yes, he actually just passed his instructor certification from the FAA. So he is somewhat eclectic. You know, he loves to do woodworking. He is a flight instructor, and he loves computer science. So we don't know. Maybe he'll end up doing a combination of things. No.
Well, I mean, he's motivated, that's for sure, at a young age. I like that.
Yeah, it's great to see the Renaissance children, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just great to see Gen Z be successful and ambitious because, you know, they get a bad rap sometimes with what's going on.
I think Gen Z is going to blow us all out of the water. They are they're disciplined. They're conservative also in many ways, and they are fundamentally from the ground up AI driven. So I'm super excited. I'm very optimistic for our world. You know, we just have to make sure that we give them the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. The baby boomers got to get out of the way.
Yes, true enough.
Anyway, yeah. All right. It's not going to happen anytime soon because of this recession. But I think they're dying off in record numbers right now.
Well, yeah, right. Tail end of the baby.
Not
boomers.
That we want that. Not that we want that. That's just, you know, we're talking about people in their 80s. 70s and 80s. All right. Jazz, anything else about Jasper that you like?
It's easy to use, and you do have to buy a subscription for it. By the way, I've also been very successful in using GPT-4 just through prompt engineering. If oftentimes GPT-4 is pretty darn good, actually. And Opus is also amazing.
Yeah. That's actually my pick. Since we're focused on content creation, my pick is Claude 3 Opus. And I was going to ask you before I jumped into why Claude 3 Opus, what makes Jasper better than Claude 3 Opus?
I don't think it's better. They're just different, right? Jasper is a full-on application, right? And it has all kinds of capabilities that you would expect from a SaaS application. How to organize your content. It's got very specific, beautifully designed tools that
like templates.
Yeah, it's got templates, suggestions. Remember, it's all about writing and writing blog posts, right? Fundamentally, but it's a copywriting tool, there's a lot of AI engineering going on in the background that you don't have to deal with in terms of getting the right result. Whereas in Opus or in GPT-4 or in Gemini 1.5 Pro, which is the one version, which is the Google version I like, you have to know quite a bit more about how to write the prompts, how to ask the question the right way, how to instruct the AI in the right way. You know, although you can ask it to actually create the instructions for you. So Jasper hides a lot of that complexity.
Yeah. Well, I like that. Well, I want you to think about what I'm going to say about Claude 3 as we're going through this to see if Jasper does some of these things. The reason I picked Claude 3 is because you can train a bot to virtually know your voice. You feed it old articles. You coach it on don't say this, don't say that. It's really remarkable what you can do with Claude 3 Opus if you keep fine-tuning it and get it to a point where it literally sounds like you. Why I like it over ChatGPT is ChatGPT has these tendencies to say the same words like keen and other words that you're just like, nobody talks that way, nobody writes that way. And they use this phraseology that now human detectors are picking up on. sometimes that's the last thing you want, is to for people to think that, you know, an AI wrote it, when it's especially something coming from the heart or something like that. So with Claude 3, when you train it on your own writing, like I fed it my old Forbes posts and my blog posts and all that, it started writing a lot better like me. So it's nearly indetectable. I always edit everything anyway, just to make it more interesting. You know, I kind of write like I talk, and Claude hasn't figured that out yet because Claude doesn't talk. But I do like its creativity, and I do think it's a better writer than ChatGPT, just because I can train it in my voice a lot easier, and it just remembers it. As long as you're using the same bot, it remembers it, unlike ChatGPT-4, where every thread, I guess you could keep going back to the same thread, but I find in those threads it forgets things that was previously in the thread. I mean, both tools are powerful. I would just pick Claude 3 Opus as the version I'm using over ChatGPT-3. And then, you know, I would throw it back over to you, Jazz, and ask you about, does Jasper do that type of thing? Does it learn through watching you write or feeding it information about how you write?
Well, keep in mind, I'm not really an expert in Jasper. I'm a user, so it may have those features. I'll have to dig deeper into that. But Claude 3, you know, so I'm sorry I can't ask you a question because I don't...
You haven't trained it, though.
I haven't trained it because it's been good enough. But, you know, but Claude 3 Opus is scarily smart, you know, in terms of its writing is beautiful even without training. And you actually can feel the difference when you're using Claude 3 Opus for creative writing versus doing the same thing in GPT-4. They're somewhat different, both of them, in terms of their strengths.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But I like the training feature.
When you talk about a bot, are you talking about the bot keeping all your previous articles and everything in context? Or do you have to tell it, you know, make sure that you reload all my articles and everything I've done, and keep that in mind when you're creating this next article?
Yeah, so I use a service, I don't know if you use it, Jazz, called Poe.com, Poe.com, and it has...
Yeah, I'm familiar with Poe, yeah.
Yep, has all the GPT, not all the GPTs, it has all the AI content creators for one subscription price. It's beautiful. And I use the bots. And the bot you could set up, and you could train the bot within Poe, and you could choose any underlying technology. I chose Claude 3. I just like the way it writes better than ChatGPT. And that bot works with Claude to train it on, in this example, your voice and past writings, and it'll remember when you tell it not to do something or to do something more. So you don't have to keep entering in these long prompts. So I haven't used Claude 3 outside of Poe.com. So I don't know if Claude 3 has this feature, but I'm a huge fan of the bots on Poe.com because of the training aspects of it and the fact that you could upload documents. It's going to keep it its knowledge bank whenever you prompt it to write an article on something.
Okay, so they're doing the work of bot. Maybe is a simple type of agent. Essentially, if you were to work directly within Claude 3 Opus, and you start a conversation thread or a work stream, you need to actually instruct it to reload all the previous transcripts of a given thread, especially if it's covering multiple days, so that it has the right context when it's responding to your latest requests for content or anything else for that matter. Agents are going to become, the bots are going to become even more and more important. If you've got bots through Poe, that's an interesting capability. I haven't tried that out. But we are experimenting with the agent-based technology that we are building ourselves for our work.
I look at agents, Jazz, as proactive, where bots to me are reactive. Like an agent, I want my agent going out and gathering information from my newsletter every day. I mean, I'd love an agent that just does that so that I can write the newsletter faster, quicker, easier. That's what I see as an agent. It's somebody who's actually working on your behalf versus a bot, which is just responding.
Yeah, I can see your point on that.
Well, I mean, that's just the way I've defined my world, and I'm the only one living in it. but that's how I look at that's how I look at it.
We are all products of our histories, right? So, you know, when I look at a bot, I think of a robot, and a robot should do what I'm asking it to do, right? But a bot can be trained to do it automatically without prompting. So I can totally see why, you know, how you would think of it that way.
Yeah. Well, I just think of a traditional chatbot versus what people are talking about in terms of agents, which is the next evolution of these things. And I can't wait. It looks like ChatGPT-5 is going to have some agent-like qualities in it, but I haven't played around with it enough or been given access to it enough. I've just seen some things to make that determination.
Yeah, agents will revolutionize. Will be the next phase of AI. It's going. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I totally agree. I can't wait to use some of these things for marketing. It's going to get really scary, really fast. I was telling a group of people that last week, a bunch of marketers. Okay, let's move to your. Now you've got a new startup.
Yes.
And you know, I've learned a lot about it through our interactions over the past 6 or 7 months, but. You know, first, why don't you introduce it and then give us the background of where did you come up with this idea and why did you come up with this idea?
Okay. Well, the company's name is financeiq.ai. You can find it on the internet by just typing in URL financeiq.ai. It'll take you right to our homepage. We got a very simple website. We are essentially, in a nutshell, developing. Our vision is to develop one of the leading AI-powered business process automation libraries that enable asset management companies to revolutionize operational execution. Asset management companies are companies like Franklin Templeton, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. Those are some of the leaders. But there are roughly 4,000 companies that manage other people's assets in terms of investments and various other things. The history of the company is somewhat interesting. We actually started working with AI 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, on a very personal project of mine, which is called safexchange.com, and that's spelled S-A-F, the letter X, C-H-A-N-G-E.com. The genesis of SAF Exchange was that I was personally and am, you know, very passionate about helping the world get, you know, try to get control of climate change and slow it down. And I'm also very passionate about aviation. So I was trying to marry my passion for aviation and my passion for AI together. And the aviation industry is transitioning from using fossil fuels, which are made from dinosaur remains, I guess, and that have to be dug up, you know, from the ground. They're transitioning from jet fuel that's made from fossil fuel to jet fuel that's made from dozens of different sources. I could range from used cooking oil to municipal waste, you know, the sewage and the sludge that comes out from cities and from homes, and you know, all the way to really interesting things where you can make fuel directly from carbon dioxide and hydrogen and sunlight. So they have these special reactors that you know, you've put feedstock in, and out comes jet fuel.
Wow.
So the aviation industry is looking at sustainable aviation fuels, that's what they're called, as one of the key ways they're going to achieve what's called net zero. Aviation industry probably contributes anywhere from 2% to 2.5% of global carbon into the atmosphere each year. And there are international treaties and upcoming legislation that mandate various industries to reduce the amount of carbon they're putting into the atmosphere. And so electric aircraft, eventually electric and hydrogen aircraft, will be able to carry huge amounts of passengers and go across continents, but they're not there yet. So sustainable aviation fuel allows the industry to get to what's called net zero. That means when when they burn the fuel in the engines of the aircraft, it produces 80% less carbon than if they were to use fossil fuel. And these new fuels can be used without essentially changing anything in the aircraft engine. So that's also very beneficial for the airlines. There's a huge amount of information that's coming out. Thousands and thousands of websites are producing data on this every day. They're like universities, thousands of companies involved in this big transition. So we created a new service, which every day we crawl 3,000 or 4,000 websites. We extract information that's directly related to sustainable aviation fuel, whether it's a new refinery that's coming online or whether there's a new refinery that's being announced. It's a new agreement that's being signed between an airline and a fuel producer. And, you know, we capture all that information, we deduplicate it, and then we use GPT-4 to create summaries of all and each of these items, and we extract a lot of data, you know, from each item that we discover, and then we create analytics, you know, which can be used by people in an industry to really get understanding of what's happening. So this was our passion project. We have been working on it for 2 years, and I was giving a demo to another friend of mine in Washington D.C., and he introduced me to a key executive at Franklin Templeton. And they took one look at the technology and they said, we have a use case where we believe you can really help us. That was last July. We said, you know, we're happy to help. And that was the genesis of how Finance IQ actually came into existence. When we started working with Franklin Templeton, we realized that the use case that we were doing for them using AI happens across all 3,000 to 4,000 companies in the asset management business. So we've collaboratively developed our technology. You know, it's our technology. It's based on our AI expertise and the work we've done in our aviation sector AI. And essentially, it helps Franklin Templeton streamline their process of responding and tracking and completing tax notices on behalf of the customers they serve. They've been able to reduce the time of notice processing by about 80%, also reducing an equivalent amount in cost, while also potentially reducing the amount of risk of missing tax notices inadvertently, which can result in downside risk for the customer. So that's kind of a genesis of FinanceIQ.ai.
Nice. And so I know you got a very large customer right now. What are you doing for them?
Well, they get thousands of notices each year that used to come in into a very manual business process. They would come into the mail room. The mail room would then scan those things in, and then they would forward them to what we would call knowledge workers, right? It's a Microsoft term, but it's people who use their knowledge to transform information, data, and take action on it. So these notices would be put into PDFs, and then they would be sent by email to another team, and sometimes multiple teams. These teams would then open up these files, and then the first thing they would have to do is they would have to break apart these PDF files into individual files, because a PDF file coming from the mailroom could have just one notice in it, or it might have 100. So the first thing the tax professionals would have to do, and these are highly compensated, highly educated finance professionals, they have to make sure there's only one notice. Then they would extract data from these notices and put them into different systems that they were using. So these systems could be Excel, Word documents, other enterprise systems, and then once this was done, the basic data extraction, it would then have to be forwarded on to the person who's actually accountable for that particular customer in terms of handling any notices that come from the tax jurisdictions. A tax jurisdiction is could be the IRS, or it could be any state agency or city or county agency.
How much time did you save them by implementing the system, whether they told you or you've estimated?
No, so we redesigned the entire process. We eliminated 90% of the steps are all done by AI without any human touch. So the AI looks at all the notices, it disaggregates them into individual notices, it extracts all the data, puts it into the right database systems, and it creates notice summaries, and then it also routes the information to the right person. So the person, all the person has to do is look at the information, look at the summaries, look at the recommended actions, and make a decision on generating either a letter back to the tax authority or making a decision on whether, you know, they should take another action. Could be like payment of the notice, disputing a notice, asking for more information about a notice. So we do all of that all through AI. The AI basically is doing 80% of the manual work, but complex and knowledge intensive work in the background. So if you look at it, it's a beautiful SaaS application. The AI is invisible, which is our philosophy, is that the AI should be invisible in the background.
That's the best one. It's invisible and it's not intrusive.
Yeah, the AI is invisible. It's in the background. You know, the tax professional is seeing a user experience that makes sense to them, okay? But the AI is working in the background through this application-specific and context-specific sensitive user experience versus a vanilla chatbot experience. So this could never be handled using like ChatGPT as an example. We use GPT-4 as our AI engine in the background that we access through APIs.
I totally get it. I think that it was a great summary of what it was. And so from this point, I mean, you're just handling a very, very niche use case and you're providing a lot of value. Would you mind sharing with us what you're going to do next? What's the next iteration of this?
Well, we delivered this particular use case in 4 months from the first time we started talking to them to the time they actually had the system in production. We literally did it in 4 months. We've got a very talented, we are engineers and product team folks, you know, that's kind of our passion. So we did it fast and it's in production. And the system is continuing to evolve. Franklin Templeton Benefit Street Partners as a division that's using it is going to be using it to create the notice responses. And then there's a whole product roadmap, Mark, that is not just notice and compliance specific, but we are also looking at AI use cases related to the U.S. tax code, counterparty risk, compliance, everything that's relevant to the industry itself, where our AI experience makes sense to help the industry leverage AI.
Okay. Wow. Well, I mean, that's fantastic. Why don't we close by you telling us why you were chosen for the MIT event and what you're doing there, and anyone in the Boston area, if you're hearing this before, I think it's Friday this week, right?
It starts on Wednesday and it goes to the end of day Thursday, but there's a big event.
When are you presenting?
I'm presenting along with all the other selected companies the morning of April 18th. I believe they start at 7:30 and they're all done by 8:30 or 8:45. Each company only gets 2 minutes to present.
Wow. You got to be pithy with that.
Yeah, right. We each get 4 slides and we are very honored to have been selected. It is supposed to be one of the premier AI conferences in the world. It's called Imagination and Action. You have to be selected, from the big number of companies that request the opportunity to present. But I believe even the attendees, they are invited. And so they have a great list of speakers. And so we are super excited that we got selected. And we hope we can provide the folks who are attending the conference great practical example of how AI can change business processes for the better.
Wonderful. Well, do you know if your pitch is going to be recorded?
Yes, everything is going to be recorded. It's going to be on Forbes, I believe.
Okay. And then so can we watch it live or will we have to wait until it's on Forbes?
I believe it's not being live streamed. That's by intent, but they will share everything after the conference.
Excellent. Okay. Well, we'll let you know, or just go to financeiq.ai's website And they, I don't, Jazz, do you have a sign up button there or something that somebody could give you their email address to be updated?
Yes, they should be contact us. If anyone's interested, they can just drop me, you know, drop an email into the contact us form. And we are very early stage, so I look at all the emails personally, and I respond to everything personally.
Okay, and you're also raising money, are you not? Is your round set up yet, or were you going to be setting that up?
We have ongoing interest. We actually haven't aggressively started raising money yet. We are really, we're always happy to talk to folks that are interested.
All right. I mean, I would think that anybody in the financial field that was working at the enterprise level that were looking for some true AI tools that are revolutionizing the space, they'd want to look at Finance IQ. And so, Jazz, how do they get a hold of you?
So they can send me an email, jasd at financeiq.ai, or they can call me directly on my phone, which is 310-995-7139.
Excellent. All right, Jazz, thanks for being on. Thanks for choosing Jasper as your AI marketing choice. And again, folks, check these guys out. I'm amazed at how much time and savings they've done. It reminds me of what was happening 15, 20 years ago when the internet and social media started infiltrating some of these organizations. A lot of resistance at first, but then finally everyone's like, okay, this is saving us time and this is making us money, so we better let it all in. And I think that's what's going to happen at the enterprise level with AI. And I know, Jazz, you've started doing it, and there's other companies that have as well. So folks, don't resist. You're not going to stop it. Try and do your best to embrace it. Be an early adopter of this stuff. It'll pay off in the future.
You're 100% right, Mark. We are scratching the surface, and there are a lot of very smart people who are working on amazing things.